KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint. K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove. KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay. KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass. And KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska. And at 1:30, we have the South Peninsula District Commercial Tanner Crab Fishery Preseason Meeting. Again, that's at 1:30, so stay tuned.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sidkenap to Castle Cape, gale warning tonight and Saturday. Today, southeast winds 30 knots, seas 10 feet with rain. Tonight, southeast winds 40 knots, becoming south 30 after midnight, seas 14 feet with rain. And Saturday, southwest winds 40 knots, becoming south 30 in the afternoon, seas 18 feet with rain. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, gale warning Saturday. Today, south winds 30 knots, becoming southeast 20 in the afternoon, seas 11 feet. Tonight, northeast winds 20 knots, becoming west 30 after midnight, seas 14 feet with rain. And Saturday, southeast winds 35 knots, seas 17 feet with rain. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarishef, gale warning today. Today, south winds 40 knots, diminishing to 25 in the afternoon, seas 20 feet. Tonight, southwest winds 25 knots, seas 13 feet. And Saturday, east winds 30 knots, seas 14 feet with rain and snow. Port Hedland and Nelson Lagoon, small craft advisory today and Saturday. Today, south winds 30 knots, seas 5 feet. Tonight, northeast winds 20 knots, becoming southwest after midnight, seas 6 feet with rain and snow. And Saturday, southwest winds 30 knots, seas 7 feet with rain and snow. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarishef, gale warning today. Today, south winds 40 knots, diminishing to 30 in the afternoon, seas 8 feet. Tonight, southwest winds 25 knots, seas 6 feet. And Saturday, east winds 30 knots, seas 7 feet with rain and snow. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, mostly cloudy with scattered rain showers. Highs in the lower 30s to lower 40s. South winds 20 to 35 miles per hour with gusts to 50 in the morning. Tonight, rain. Then scattered rain showers and snow showers after midnight. Snow accumulation can be up to 1 inch. Lows in the mid-20s to mid-30s. West winds 10 to 25 miles per hour with gusts to 40 after midnight. And Saturday, partly sunny with a chance of snow in the morning, then snow and rain in the afternoon. Precipitation may be heavy at times, and snow accumulation can be up to 3 inches. Highs in the mid-30s to lower 40s. South winds 10 to 20 miles per hour, shifting to southeast 20 to 35 in the afternoon. Your tide predictions for the Popoff Island. There was a high tide at 12:11 a.m. at 5 feet 3 inches, a low at 4:18 a.m. at 4 feet 1 inch, a low at 10:38 a.m. at 8 feet 3 inches, and a low at 6:17 p.m., a minus tide of 9 inches. Your sun rose at 10:03 this morning, and your sun will set at 5:36, giving us 7 hours and 33 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Funding for KSDP is made possible in part by the King Cove Corporation, operating the Fleets, Inn Hotel, the Heart Lakes Apartments, and the Last Hook Off Tavern. The King Cove Corporation is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
Yeah, Boston's up next with us, and we're going to hear More Than a Feeling after that. Kids in America, that's Kim Wilde. Didn't know he wrote a song about goats. Anyway, Huey Lewis in the News is up after that with Working for a Living.
Close my eyes and I slipped away. my music, forget the day, and dream of a girl I used to know. I close my eyes and she slipped away. We'll be right back.
mind, 'cause I'm working for a living. Hey, I'm not complaining, 'cause I really need the work, but hitting up my buddies got me feeling like a jerk. $100 car note, 200 red. I get a check on Friday, but it's already spent. Working for a living. Cause I'm working for a living.
Abba's next with us with Andante. Andante. Andante is an Italian word for moderate pace or a walking pace. It's used in music a lot. And after that, we have Status Quo with Anniversary Waltz, and then Talk, Talk, It's My Life.
Take it easy. beside me at the wheel. I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile. My curiosity's running wild. Cruising and playing the radio with no particular place to go. To get her bells and blues, all the way home I held a grudge, but the safety belt it wouldn't budge. Cruising and playing the radio with no particular place to go.
Come on!
Yeah, up next we have Magazine doing About the Weather. And Elton John, I'm Still Standing, and Owner of a Lonely Heart by Yes.
Stopping down. My name's, I think I know most everyone on this list, but my name's Nat Nichols. I'm the area manager for commercial shellfish and groundfish for Kodiak Chignik South Penn. I just wanted to, this is a preseason meeting for Tanner Crab for South Penn. I just wanted to run through a couple things that are mostly all the same as usual, so it should just be a refresher. And then the main point here is to open up for questions to make sure everyone has an opportunity to ask me anything they might have
Darren
questions about before
Utek
we get.
Is now joining.
So, I think everyone's seen the announcement. We're going for a small quota this year, 210,000 pounds, just the Eastern District is open. And then we've gone and split the Eastern District into two subsections. So that'll be Pavlov and Shumigin, 105,000 pounds each. And the divider there between the two, I'll throw up here on my screen now. Hopefully this works. Is going to be the 161 West line. Somebody let me know if you can see this map that's up.
You see it.
Great. So this is on the back of everyone's registration, so you should be able to look at this. That 161 west line there is just west of Beaver Bay. So we're going to have 105,000 pounds in Pavlov there and 105,000 pounds in Shumigins. And that line goes all the way out to the 200-mile line. So we've just zoomed in here on this version of it. Everything about these subsections is going to work just like we used to do with the Eastern and Western District. So when you do your final registration, you're going to need to select which subsection you want to start fishing in. And you can switch anytime you want, but there's two things you need to do to switch. The first thing is to tell me or Cassie that you want to switch sections. And the second thing is make a delivery. Get the crab off the boat. So, and that doesn't need to be a dock delivery. Delivering to a tender counts as a delivery. Just tell me you're switching and then get the crab off the boat and you're good to go. The question would be, what do you do with your gear? You can do one thing that is probably the most common is that you can take your gear and put it baited in the new section that you want to switch to. So if you want to switch from Pavlov to Shumigins, first thing you do is tell me, hey, I'm switching. I'm done for the day. You know, I'm done. I want to switch to the Shumigins. You can drive your gear over there, bait it up, splash it, and then go make a delivery and let your gear soak a little bit and go back and start hauling. The main thing to keep in mind is we just don't want crab from both sections on board at the same time. We have to keep it separated. So if you leave your gear in the old section that you're trying to leave, just make sure it's open and unbaited. What you don't want to do is leave your gear baited in Pavlov, go into deliver, tell me you're switching to Shumigins, then go back and haul a string. And now you've got Pavlov crab back on the boat. So that's the only thing that's different for this year is this subsection management. And I'm happy to answer questions about why we're doing that or how that's going to work at the end, but I'll just run through some other stuff here. We're going to be opening most likely noon on the 15th. That's Wednesday. As usual, we'll look at the weather on the morning of the 14th. So we'll be looking at the 4 a.m. forecast on the 14th. And if there's a gale warning, everything will be delayed 24 hours, including final registration. Final registration. So buoy tags are available at the Harbor House in King Cove and at Trident Seafoods there in Sandpoint. A lot of guys have selected a subsection already, so those registrations already say either Pavlov or Shumigins on them. You're not locked into that until final registration, until we sign those. So if you know that you checked the Shumigin box, but you've had a change of heart and you want to start in Pavlov sometime on the morning of the 14th or before we do the final registration, just call me and tell me that and I'll check the box for you and switch it. But if you've checked a box and I haven't heard from you, I'm going to assume that's your final selection. I'm going to sign that. I'm going to send it back to you. And if you, you know, take off, leave from the dock, you're in that section. So, you know, when you get your paperwork back, make sure you look at it, make sure it has the box checked where you want to start. We've got real small quotas this year, you know, 100,000 pounds in each subsection. So it's real helpful for me to have an accurate count of who's fishing where so we can keep track of that stuff. Reporting, I'll hammer on this. You guys are awesome about reporting. Starlink's really helped, but this is going to be a quick one this year. We're probably going to do 1 or 2 days of reporting, I would guess. So If I can hear from everybody on the day of the opener, I know it's just going to be a half day. Some guys won't haul any gear. Some guys will just spot check. Some guys will run the whole strings. Whatever you do, just let me know. So when you're done fishing for the day, I need three pieces of information: where you were, how many pot lifts, how many crab you retained. That's all. And feel free to ask me questions, you know, how fishing's going, what do I think, you know, it goes two ways. You know, I'm real happy to take reports from you guys, and I'm happy to give you all the information that I have too. Again, you guys are great about reporting, but it's really important, especially in a year like this where it's going to be quick. If I'm missing, you know, if we end up with 30 boats and I'm missing 10 of them on the first day, that's hard for me. That's a third of the fleet that I'm guessing at. And if I don't hear from you, what I do is I assume you're fishing, and I assume your fishing's pretty good. So, that can hurt everyone, because, you know, it might mean we close up too soon because I haven't heard from you and I assume you're fishing when in fact you're still at the dock or something like that. So just stay in touch with me. Let me know what you're up to. Samplers, we're gonna have the same sampler as the last couple of years in Sandpoint. It's gonna be Matt Diaz. Please help him, work with him as much as you can. He's not there doing enforcement stuff. He's there doing our biological sampling. Please try not to pepper him with management type questions about, you know, when's the closure coming, all that. He doesn't know that stuff. That's not what he's there doing. If you have questions about that stuff, text me, call me, or Cassie, and we're happy to help with all that. But Matt's just there to measure crab and get some average weights. Trying to think what else I should cover here. If you're going to be tendering, if any of you are planning on having crab tendered somewhere else, please try hard to do a good fish ticket. Some of the, you know, tendering crab is not a real common activity. You know, most of the boats that tender a lot of cod or salmon have the routine down, but tendering crab is a little different. Just make sure you look at your fish ticket, make sure it's got stat areas on it, make sure it's, you know, it's got all the information we're looking for. Pot lifts is a required field on a crab fish ticket. So, you know, it's just the number of pot lifts for that trip. It's, you know, don't put 20 down. It's not the number of pots you're fishing, it's the number of pot lifts. So if you're pulling them twice a day and you're delivering 2 days worth of crab, that's gonna be, you know, 40 lifts. So just keep that in mind. We're happy to help with all that, but tender crab fish tickets can get a little messy sometimes. So if you can give them an extra look over, that helps us, because otherwise we're gonna have to contact you and ask you questions about, you know, trying to get your fish ticket squared away. Sorry, I realize I probably still have this map up here. Stop sharing. That's really all I had. I'm happy to help with any questions that I've got, that anybody has. I think everyone's got my phone number. I will throw out my cell phone number here, just because that's the way a lot of people are reporting now, with WhatsApp or text. All that's going to be coming through my cell phone. So that's 907-512-5841. Again, that's 907-512-5841, and that should be on all the registration paperwork you have. I guess one last thing: if you're getting buoy tags, you know, it's really important, because if you go and get buoy tags, you need to tell us that you got your buoy tags. You need to fill that registration out and send it to us. And sometimes those don't go through. So I may not know that you've gotten buoy tags and that you tried to send me a registration. So then I don't have anything to sign to send back to you. So then you might think you're all set because you've got buoy tags, but I never got your registration. So before you go fishing, make sure you have a signed registration, that it's got a date on it. It's got my signature or Cassie's signature on it. And that means that we know you're fishing, you're registered, you're all good to go. Don't head out with, you know, just half a registration and think you're good, because if I don't know you're fishing, I'll find out when you make a delivery, and then we're gonna have to play catch up. So I think with that, I'll just, who's got questions? Happy to help with anything I can.
Matt, do you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, Dwayne.
Yeah, just, on the weather, I was just kind of curious. The district land is at McGinty Point, 161, but on the weather land is at Cape Tolstoy. So if there's a gale warning in either section, does that mean both areas be closed?
Yeah, that's correct. So we need to have no gales, and we're going to be looking at two forecasts. So we're going to be looking at the the nearshore forecast, so the new 0 to 15 nautical mile forecast. And we're going to be looking at the Castle Cape to Tolstoy one. So that's PKZ752. And we're also going to be looking at Tolstoy to Cape Sarasota, so PKZ754. Look at both those forecast zones, and if there's a gale in either one of them, the fishery opening will be delayed.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Yep. Cassie, did you have something? I think you were muted.
Yeah, I was muted. I'm good now. So I'd like to add, we have two management cell phones now. So there's two different options. There's the number that Nat said, which is 512-5841. The second one is 512-5423, so 5423. Both of those numbers are on the top of your registration, so those are both ready and available if you lose it. They're both on top of that registration for you guys.
Thank you for that, Cassie. I forgot about the second one. Yep. And if I don't think anybody has signed up with a dispatch, but we got rid of our dispatch units over the summer, so we don't have that anymore. So if anybody is still using tag phones, we got rid of ours. Well, I'll hang out for another couple minutes because I'm happy to answer any questions if anybody's got them. But if anybody wants to ask me questions offline, again, you can text either of those phone numbers. We're happy to do it that way. Or if you want to call and talk to somebody, feel free to call the office line here in Kodiak. It's 907-486-1840. Just give us a call if you've got questions that you want to ask offline here, and we'll do everything we can to help you guys get set up. Really appreciate your reporting. That's going to be helpful for us this year. We'll get Tanner Crab going, and then we can start talking about what PCOD looks like. That'll be next for us. But I hope this is a successful season for you guys. I know it's a small quota. I don't know that the weather looks particularly good. It looks like we might get started on time, but then have some weather right off the bat. So we'll have to deal with that, but otherwise my plan for the management of the fishery is same as usual, just a smaller quota. You know, we'll take reports and try and give you guys as much advance notice of closure as we can, and try and make sure we get those quotas, not go too over, but make sure we don't come up too short either. I don't want to do that to you guys. So we'll try and get it and try and keep it orderly, and hopefully it's, you know, pretty fast and successful, and everybody gets what they need out of it. So,
can you hear me, Nat?
Yeah, I got you there, PJ.
Yeah, hi. I was just curious, what's the registration numbers looking like? You said you got some preliminary numbers there for districts.
I do not have those added up because they're not finalized yet, but I guess, Cassie, do you mind jumping in? Are they listed in the notes on the wiki? Yeah, can you look them up? And you're muted too. We'll get those looked up. I think, I don't remember where we are. I think we might be at 12 or 15 boats right now, but Cassie's going to look that up. She'll give us the numbers, and then if people have selected, she'll tell us what the split is. We'll get that for you. And sorry, that's a good point. If I assume it's interesting to everyone what the split is, because you're going to be doing that math. So if you want to play the numbers, you know, we'll start doing those registrations at noon on the 14th, assuming we don't have a weather delay. We'll start signing those. We'll be here till 4:30, and we'll be back at 8 in the morning the next day. So if you want to know what the split is and play those numbers, if you're curious about how many boats are in Pavlov and how many boats are in the Shumigans, just be one of the last boats to register. You know, just don't register right at noon. You know, wait till 2, 3, 4 in the afternoon, and you can call me anytime, and I'll say, okay, we've got 12 in Pavlov, and, you know, 10 in Shumigans, or whatever the numbers are. Again, once you select and we sign that and send it to you, you're pretty well locked in. But But if you want to, know where everybody else is, you know, just kind of be one of the last guys to register. That's fine. Lots of guys in Kodiak will do that too. So.
Yeah. Do you have an estimate how long you think the fishery is going to last?
It really, I don't, you know, it depends how many boats we get. I think we had 34 last year. If we end up with, you know, 18, it's going to last longer. If we end up with 34 boats again, it's going to go pretty quick. You know, if we end, and again, it depends on fishing. Like, you know, if you guys get on them right away and catch is good, you know, real quick, I bet, you know, there's totally a chance that we'll be taking reports on the night of the 15th and making an announcement for the 16th. I mean, I would keep that in your mind as an option. I'm telling you guys the same thing in Kodiak. We've got, you know, we've got the east side section in Kodiak open. We've had that was open for 3 million pounds recently. We're doing 155,000 pounds on the east side here in Kodiak this year. So the guys that are going to the east side, I'm telling them, you know, we are probably going to make an announcement on the 15th for a closure sometime on the 16th. Be prepared for that. And I would say that depending on how many boats end up where, what the weather looks like, how good fishing is, I think that's an option on this. Could be a short one, you know, a day, two.
Thanks.
Those subsection registrations aren't super easy to access. I'll look them up, and if anybody wants to give us a call in half hour or whatever, if you guys want to know, I can get those numbers for you.
Hey, Cassie, would you just walk out front and get the total count off the board?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Also, if we go over in Pavlov, would that get taken for the sampling section?
Gonna try not to. No, you know, we're gonna try and manage them separately. That's the idea. Is that, you know, we're gonna try not to. I mean, if we, no, I'll just say no. We're gonna try and manage them separately.
We've got 17 vessels signed up at the moment.
Yeah, 17. So no, we're going to try and manage them separately. That being said, the last time we did this, I think it was 2012 or 2013, and we broke the Eastern District up into subsections like this, and we went badly over in all of them. And I don't want to do that. So, you know, that's a long time ago. We didn't have WhatsApp. You know, maybe we had poor reporting, but that is one of the risks here. These are small quotas. You guys are real good at catching crab, and I'm worried about that. So I would like to not absolutely destroy both of these GHLs. That'd be nice for everybody. Be good for the crab. Be good for you guys in the future. That's the goal.
Hey, Nat, I was just curious. I mean, from a scientific point of view, I mean, having short openings like this or whatever over the past couple of years, isn't that pretty indicative of a healthy stock? And, you know, maybe it goes against what the trawl numbers are showing in the survey data, but I mean, if they're going that quickly, it seems like it's good indication of, you know, healthy stock.
Yeah, catching, yeah, absolutely, catching crab is good when, you know, you're trying to have a fishery and the fishery goes well. It means there's crab in the water. Absolutely. I'm going to share my screen here real quick. Is this image up before I start talking?
Yeah. See something.
Yeah. So this is the eastern section of South Penn. On the left-hand side here, we have the years. These are the survey years, not fishery years. On the bottom of this figure here, we've got the size of crab. So down here on the left-hand side, those are your little teeny tiny guys. And then on the right, those are the real big ones. And this black line that goes down through here, that's legal size. So everything to the right of it is legal size crab. So you can see back here in the 2017, 2018, when we didn't have fisheries, you know, there's not a lot of legal crab. That's why we're not. We've got this big group of crab that starts here in 2018 as juvenile crab. And every year they get a little bigger. They move farther to the right as they grow. And eventually here they start to get over that black line and they're legal and we start fishing on them. So we fished in the 2021 season, I believe, the 22, and maybe I'm off a year, but you know, you can see these last years down here where we've got a lot of crab on the right hand side. of that black line. Those are a lot of legal crab, and those are the last couple seasons that we're looking at here. But if we go to the, you know, if we look at this bottom row in 2024, we're running, you know, this 2018 group is all we've been fishing on for the last couple of years. It was the biggest group of crab we've seen in a long time. They survived well. It turned into some pretty big quotas. They're dying out. We've either caught them or they're dying of old age. You know, that was 7 years ago at this point. That's about as old as a Tanner crab gets, 7, 8 years. So they're dying because we're catching them in the fishery. Then they're dying because they're getting old. So natural mortality. If you look at this bottom row here and you look kind of in this 80 to 125, there's just not a ton of crab. You know, if you look at the difference in that kind of middle section of 2024 here and you compare that back up to 2021, you know, 2021, it looks, you know, the future looks bright, right? Because we've, or even 2020, you know, because we've got a lot of those small crab that are just short of legal. We know they're coming, and they did. And they grew to legal size, and we had some good fisheries on them. That's not the case right now. This 2024 group, or this line down here, you can see we've got the remnants of that 2018 group that are old and legal to the right of that black line, but then there's not a whole lot behind it. So, you know, there's a possibility that we could be having some small fisheries in the next couple of years, 100,000 pounds, something like that, but we don't have a big group of crab coming like we did recently. So fishing has been good in the last couple of years, and that's because we did have a lot of crab in the water. We are getting to the end of this group of crab. And it's the same story in Kodiak. We are now sort of we're on the backside of it. We're going to have small fisheries or no fisheries until we get another big slug of crab coming through. And that's, you know, this, you can see these groups tracking through time really well. We knew this big group was coming. We watched them mature. They did. We watched them get legal. We had big fisheries, all very predictable. Now we're on the backside of it. We're still fishing on them. These crab are going to be old shell. So these are going to be dark crab. They're going to be big. We're probably going to have a pretty big average weight on them, 2.5 pounds, something like that. They're going to be what we would call an old shell. I don't want to, you know, I hesitate to say dirty or dark because that means something different to the processor and the grading, but they're going to be a, whatever you want to call it, a rich caramel color. They're not going to be that sparkly pink new shell crab. That was a lot of talking, PJ. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, for the most part. I just found it kind of curious that, you know, the Morshovia had a bigger quota last year than the eastern section. It was caught quicker, you know, there's bigger numbers put out, and then all of a sudden there's nothing there.
So also what's happening there is we've got the revised harvest strategy takes into account female abundance. The old harvest strategy didn't care at all about females. It said we could go out and do the trawl survey and not catch a single female and still have a fishery and take 30% of our estimated legal males. We know that females are important in basic biology, and from just basic stock assessment, we know we have to care about the females. And the females, they mature faster than the males, and they die sooner than the males. So what's happening now is we've got all these crab from this 2018 group. We've still got some males left. We've still got some big legal males from that group, but most of the females have already died. And the harvest strategy right now, we call it the female dimmer. When it sees the females dying off, it throttles back the exploitation rate on the males, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to save some of those males. Because if you think about it this way, it's kind of just like people. You get immature crab. All of the females become sexually mature before the males, like even a year or two. So you've got a big group of crab like the 2018 group, and you've got all these females that are sexually mature, but all the males from their own cohort aren't sexually mature yet and aren't ready to mate them. So what they need to be mated by big, older males from the previous group. So what we're doing here with this 2018 group is we've seen the females drop way off. We know that that's an indication that the males are going to be dropping off soon as well, because they're going to die a year or two later. What we're trying to do now is we're trying to preserve some of those big old males that are the most sexually viable. Those are the best breeding stock. We're trying to save those to mate with the young females from the next group. So there may still be a good number of legal male crab somewhere like Morshovia, But if we see very few females, the harvest strategy says, hey, don't take 20% of legal males anymore. Take something lower. Take 8%. So then we take a much lower exploitation rate on those legal males because we're trying to preserve them. And then what happens is we're bumping up into the GHL minimums. So, like, we need to have at least 200,000 pounds to get the section open, right? But if we have a lower exploitation rate because we don't have that many females, and then we calculate the minimum, the GHL, and it tells us, yeah, you can have a fishery, but it can only be 130,000 pounds, and we have a 200,000 pound minimum, then it stays closed. And that's what's happening in the western section this year.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Hey, you appreciate bet. That.
Hey, Nat.
Taylor, I see you. You're trying to change the channel on me. I see you with a remote.
I'm trying, but it's not working. So initially you had 200,000 allocated to Pavlov, and then we had a meeting and we discussed it, and that was the allocation for that day. And then you divided it. So is Pavlov still have somewhere around 200,000?
No,
total, or
no, sorry.